So, Hare Krishna, we have completed this part of our presentation. You know now where we stand with the Govardhan Retreat Center, and once again I would like to remind you, if you feel any inspiration to participate in any way, please do contact especially Vrindavan Vinod, our man who makes the impossible possible. Yes, I really believe that is what Vrindavan Vinod's role is here as, and has been so far. Now we will just go to the conclusion. We will request all the teachers to come here up the stage. We are missing Jagatarini. Mataji, you should be is maybe here. Then Madhavananda Prabhu and Adi Purusha Prabhu. I know that Madhavananda feels requires a chair. No problem. And please all come quickly. Adi Purusha, are you there? Good, please come. Don't hesitate. In this session, the teachers will give you their final messages from their presentations, something they really want us to take home. And please let us listen very carefully, because we will get a little bit in a nutshell what they want us to have understood. All right, so with whom should we start, Bhujan Prabhu? With Madhavananda Prabhu. Where is he? He started, right. Then maybe we can, in the meantime, request Adi Purusha Prabhu to speak. Next to me, Adi Purusha Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Anchakobadarvishcha kripa sindhubhyo cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even mixed or not amyloid bhakti must be intended for Krishna's pleasure. Bhakti is bhakti only if it is done with the desire to please Krishna. Anukulyena. This is what makes bhakti bhakti. Srila Prabhupada translates this as favorable attitude. Bhakti performed favorably. So since all of us here have the desire to perform bhakti to please Krishna, we need to do this with the intention to make Krishna pleased, to make Krishna satisfied. Not just the activity which pleases Krishna, but also with the desire to please him. Not to produce accidentally produce pleasure in him, but aiming at his pleasure. So this process is called Bhagavad Dharma, and it has many angas, elements, parts. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, very often Bhagavad Dharma is used in plural. Accepting garlands is one of the 64 elements of bhakti. Indra once didn't accept it very happily, and he lost all his kingdom. So I should be careful. Hare Krishna. And there is a beautiful description of Bhagavad Dharma in Canto 11. The whole Canto 11 is an amazing canto. It's the treasure house of jewels, gem-like verses. Even separate lines and separate words. Sometimes syllables are like diamonds, are like jewels with many facets. And in the beginning, you can see the questions are how somebody not very intelligent, how somebody full of material desires, how somebody without an elevated consciousness can cross the ocean of material bondage quickly and easily. And it's repeated several times. Anjasa, 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 different speakers. Narada Muni, Vasudeva, Yogendras, they say Anjasa, they say easily. So Bhagavad Dharmas. And in the beginning of this description, we have a description of three levels of bhakti. Three levels of adhikar, advancement, eligibility, qualification of a performer. And the first is Kanishta Bhakta, about whom many bad things are said. One of the bad things about mentioned, spoken about Kanishta Bhakta is there in our purport. I'll just read this short few lines. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, since a Kanishta Adhikari who cannot properly respect other devotees will certainly fail to offer respects to ordinary living entities who are not even devotees, a Kanishta Adhikari is useless for practical preaching work. Unless he comes to a higher platform of understanding. Srila Jiva Goswami says, Iyam ca shraddha na shastrartha vadharana jata. Because the Kanishta Adhikari's faith is not actually based on the statements of Vedic literature, he cannot understand the exalted position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within everyone's heart. Therefore, he cannot actually manifest love of Godhead, nor can he understand the exalted position of the devotees of the Lord. Krishna is so glorious that Krishna's intimate associates must also be glorious. But this is unknown to a Kanishta Adhikari. So certainly, of course, you are not scared by this, I'm sure, because that doesn't refer to you, because it refers to Kanishta Adhikaris, correct? I'm sure. Still, for teaching, it's useful when you teach Kanishta Adhikaris, right? It's very helpful. Like our mind is sometimes a Kanishta Adhikari, right? So therefore, this year I selected the first three upayas or methods of Bhagavad Dharmas mentioned in this description, which are mercy, dayam, maitrim or friendship, and prasrayam or respect to devotees. And at the end of this description, Yogendra Prabuddha says that if you practice these Bhagavad Dharmas, you will cross difficult ocean very easily, by practicing mercy, by practicing respect, and by practicing friendships. So friendship with devotees primarily. Of course, a devotee is friendly to everybody, Suhrida Saradehina. But it's most important to develop friendship with devotees, and we may say that if you don't have at least 1, 2, 3 close devotee friends with whom you speak about Krishna, it's very hard to call this position the Madhyam Bhakti position. And Madhyam Bhakta is described as a person who practices mercy, who practices friendship with devotees. Maitrim, yah karoti samadhyam. So this is not something just accidentally happening, but this is a practice. Yah karoti. So we cultivate friendships. And in the discussion, I asked all the audience, all the listeners to think about your friend and try to guess or understand what is their ideal, what are some of their ideals, aspirations or values they desire. Not even what they are, but what they want to be. That's the value system of Krishna. He judges everybody by what you want to be, not what you are, but what you want to be, by your aspirations. Where are you moving? So this makes some devotees told me, shared their realization that it's not easy to understand what is the value of our friends, what is their most appreciated quality of Krishna, what is their favorite lila of Krishna, what are their inner desires and qualities, character. But even trying to do this definitely changes our relationships and makes it deeper. Still, even if it is difficult for us to do, fortunately, Narada Muni says, Shuto nupatito dhyata adrito vanumodita sadhya punati sadharmo deva vishvadruhopihi. Pure devotional service. So this is Bhagavad Dharma, this is Sadharma, this is our sadhana, pure devotional service. Pure devotional service rendered to the Supreme Lord is spiritually so potent that simply by hearing about such transcendental service, by chanting its glories in response, by meditating on it, by respectfully and faithfully accepting it. Anumodita means approving it. You say, this is good. Or you click the like button at the end of this description. Or by praising the devotional service of others. Even persons who hate the demigods and all other living beings can be immediately purified. Shri Bhagavad Dharma ki jai, Shri Mad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, devotee friendships ki jai, cultivating deep spiritual personal relationship with Krishna consciousness ki jai. Nidai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. The next devotee is Madhavananda. Prabhu, can you please?
Gora Gaganya Gana Gotra Guru Haram Goranga Guru Tama Gopya Kopa Briksham Gopala Gara Rati Dam Yati Singha Gora Govinda Deshika Varam Satatam Namami. Patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah namo vrindavanankaya tubhyam goloka molane purna brahmata patraya namo govardhanaya cha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shiva Sari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I was thinking of a statement that Satchinanda Maharaj made in one of his wonderful classes a few days ago. We were saying that we should contemplate, we should look for what Giriraj is trying to tell us. And we should look for Giriraj's gift. And Giriraj's gift is the message that he keeps giving us over and over. So I was thinking something about that. And from my humble perspective, all the Govardhan retreats I've had the privilege to take part in, this is the subject matters that each of the speakers were talking about. They were the most fluid. There was a very nice continuity between all of them. And I was thinking then, what am I going to say about our subject matter, which has been the Govardhan Basa Pratana Dasakam, 10 verses written by Raghunath Das Goswami, requesting residence near Govardhan Hill. And I was thinking something, I started contemplating verse 4, which we didn't speak on. And I thought, oh, this is a very interesting subject. And I found it very, very esoteric, very high, actually, but simultaneously also very practical for all of us. And I like things which are a little bit opposites like that, something which is very high, but also very practical and close. So in that fourth verse, Raghunath Das Goswami, he describes Rasaniri Navayuno Sakshinim Dana Kele. Again, he's speaking about Giriraj Govardhan and the glories of Giriraj. And one of his qualities is that Rasaniri Navayuno Sakshinim Dana Kele. This, he's a crash jewel of places for the Ras Lila. And he's Sakshinim Dana Kele. He's the witness of the Dana Keli Leela. And I started thinking about this and how I know of, gosh, 10 or 11 different places in our Goswami literatures again and again and again and again and again. Whenever they speak about Giriraj Govardhan, they mention Dana Keli, or Dana Gati. Dana Gati Indra Tila Hari Devastani. We've been singing this song about Giriraj Govardhan. And one of the places mentioned there is Dangati. Raghunath Das Goswami twice in different prayers to Giriraj mentions Dangati. There's so many places to mention. Why does he particularly mention that place? Rupa Goswami in his Dvitiya Govardhanashtakam also mentions it. In Bhaktivedanta Nakar it's mentioned. Many, many places. That's a whole other subject matter. What goes on there? What does that mean, that Dangati? That's when the gopis are carrying milk products and Krishna imposes some tax on them. And because of that, Krishna is known as Mahadhanindra. Huh? He's the great tax collector, the great Indra, the great lord of tax collection. And he's getting these things from the gopis. Baladeva Vibhushan, we mentioned a little of his commentary on these prayers. He says a very interesting thing. He quotes the 10th chapter, chapter 31, second verse of the 10th canto, where he says that the gopis, they tell Krishna that we're asukla dasika. We're your dasis, we're your servants, but we don't want any remuneration. We don't want anything from you. That's the mood of the gopis. The gopis don't want anything from Krishna for their service. But Krishna is a little different. Krishna wants something from the gopis. In their relationship, the gopis are not asking anything from Krishna, but Krishna himself, he's wanting from the gopis, and therefore he sets up this Dangati Leela, where he's coming and he's taxing the gopis. And what is he taxing? Purnamasi Devi describes it. This is Vishva Prakata Dan, that by doing this pastime, the whole universe is seeing how Krishna is controlled by love. Because Krishna wants this thing from the gopis. He wants the love of the gopis. It's a very, very high, very esoteric thing. And this is Giriraj Govardhan. The Garga Sanhita describes Girirajo Hare Rupam Sriman Govardhano Girihitasya Darshanamat Trina Narayati Kritartitam. The Giriraj is directly Lord Hari. But we also need Raghunath Das Goswami has described Nijapati Bhujadanda Chatrambhavam Prapadya. The very first two words of his Govardhan Basa Pratana Dasakam, which I spoke about, indicates that I see you, Giriraj, as a devotee of Krishna, Nijapati. He speaks about Nijapati, the Lord of Giriraj, who's Krishna. So Giriraj is Krishna, but Krishna, and he's particularly mentioning his Dangati Leela, that Krishna's wanting this thing of the gopis. And I thought this is very interesting because in Jagannath Puri, we have another very similar pastime that goes on. The same Krishna appeared in Kali Yuga is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. He's in the mood of Radharani. He wants to get that. This is his don. This is his tax that he wants. He wants to understand Radharani's mood. And Raghunath Das Goswami, as we mentioned several times, was present there in that Gambira Kirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he heard that. He witnessed that. He witnessed how Krishna himself wants to taste the mood of the gopis. He wants the love of the gopis. And so when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world, where did Raghunath Das Goswami go? He left Puri and he came to Govardhan. And a very similar pastime is going on here also. So I was considering this very esoteric kind of point. And what is the relevance of this for us? That we also want to hear something about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the gopis. Prabhupada told the editors of Back to Godhead magazine once, they were asking him, in BTG, should we talk about Radha Krishna Leela? And Prabhupada said, better you don't. And then Prabhupada paused for a moment and he said, but don't boycott the gopis. We don't want to boycott the gopis. We want the gopis. But we want to understand this according to our position. And therefore, we said that three things, sambandha, abhideya, prayojan, are indicated in this verse. And we should understand and contemplate always, what is my sambandha? What is my position in approaching this? And we suggested that in the 10th verse, Nirupati karunena sri satchinandanena twaikapati satopi twatpriyanarpitosmi, that Raghunath Das Goswami indicates both his sambandha, his connection with Giriraj, which is through the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his own adhikar, his own qualification, which is also very closely connected with our sambandha. And then we spoke something then, how we can see Giriraj, how we can approach Giriraj. And I'd like to read you, I think for the third time, this wonderful excerpt of a lecture from Srila Prabhupada that he gave in Montreal, 18th of August, 1968. And Prabhupada speaking first how everyone can offer prayers to Krishna. It doesn't require that you're a big, big person. Doesn't require that you're a big, big scholar. Everyone can offer. He says, nothing is required. Simply, you have to express your feelings. And then Prabhupada says, so what is that real feeling? One must be aware of his position. Then one can express his feeling. Feelings should be very sincere and automatic. If we realize our position, and therefore Raghunath Das Goswami is instructing us in this prayer also, you should realize what your position is. Now one subject that I found in these thoughts we're just sharing with you now, and with our Qatar presentation about these prayers, and also with Adi Purush Prabhu's presentation, Sachinanda Maharaj's presentation, and Burijan Prabhu's presentation, and Mother Jagatarani's presentation, is that the real essence of Giriraj is to understand his position as a devotee. And we mentioned to you, you may recall, that in these two words are used, Govardhan Atvam. And generally the translators give them as two separate words. Tvam meaning you, Giriraj. But if the sandhi is done a little differently, then they become one word, Govardhanatvam, which means that Raghunath Das Goswami, in that case, he's praying that I can have some quality like Giriraj. And Giriraj, he's serving Krishna in this way. Giriraj is Krishna, but Krishna, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhakti Roop, in the mood of a devotee, Giriraj is Haridasa Varya, he's in the mood of a devotee. He's Krishna, he's Vishnu Tattva, like Mahaprabhu, but he's in the mood of a devotee. And Giriraj particularly wants to serve Krishna and the gopis by bringing them together. And so therefore, again and again, this Dhanagati Leela is mentioned, that Krishna wants to tax the gopis, and this is one of the functions of Giriraj Govardhan. And so I thought this is a very nice thing for us to contemplate on. We can pray to Giriraj for so many things, but we can also pray to him that, please let me serve the devotees. This is Giriraj's Namuda Krishna, but he's serving all the devotees. Let me serve all the devotees. And therefore I was thinking all the different talks that were going on in the last few days. There was one message which was I was getting again and again and again. And as Sachinanda Maharaj was saying, we should look for Giriraj's gift. And that gift is the message that we keep finding. And the message that I kept finding in all the different presentations is that we should serve the devotees, we should learn to love the devotees, we should understand our position, we should act in a very humble way. And therefore I thought it was very magical, practically, how all the discussions, this retreat, they were all fit together like pieces of a puzzle in a very nice way. So I want to thank all the devotees, and especially the devotees who put this program on, for giving me some opportunity to speak on this subject, such a wonderful subject. And I want to thank especially Burijan Prabhu and Sachinanda Maharaj and Jagat Tarini for somehow, even though Raghunath Das Goswami, he says that Satopi Twapi Anarpitosmi, even though I'm a Satopi, I'm a criminal, even though I have no good qualities, still, you're Nija Nikata Nibasam, you're giving me some residence near you. And this is what all of you have done for me. Even though I have no qualifications, you're giving me some residence. And all of you also, by being so kind to let me speak something about these wonderful subject matters. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bolo Giriraj Maharaja ke, Ko Premanande, Bhancha Kopadarubhish cha, Kipasindhya bhyeva cha.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Vaskatya Deshatarane Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So my theme was turning to Krishna in difficulty. And my difficulty began, that turned me to this theme, when I started to prepare this particular presentation. Because as Srila Jiva Goswami said, anyone who tries to speak about Govardhan Leela in 3 or 4 verses will find themselves very confused. The amount of detail and the nuances and the beauty of the pastime in its various stages, it was quite challenging to put that together into a presentation for me. And as I was doing it, I noticed that there were 2 separate personalities who had to turn to Krishna. 2 groups, you could say. There was the group of those who were the Brajavasis, who were sincerely trying to do just what Krishna wanted of them, but found themselves in great difficulty from the outside. They were not in difficulty from within, but the obstacles that were coming from the outside were very formidable. So to watch their turning to Krishna in difficulty and how he was taking care of them and the minute details of how he was interacting with those who were full of faith was to me a very, very satisfying experience in preparation. But I think the one that I really found interesting was the position, the person with the position and the power and the right and the might. And he was the one who had the anger problem. He was the one who had the envy problem. And he was the one who had the mountain of pride. So I think I may not be alone in saying that, at least for me, there's certainly an Indra within me living alive and healthy and well, unfortunately. And so I really benefited from seeing and experiencing how Krishna dealt when Indra finally turned to him. after he had acted so destructively. And eventually he's there, he's thrust down on the ground by the results of his foolishness. And everyone around him is saying, "My gosh, you didn't do that, did you?" And he was saying, "Yes, now what to do?" So to watch the nuances of the forgiveness process and the feelings that he felt of guilt and shame, and the transformation, how Krishna didn't punish him. He said, "I only protected the faithful. I didn't punish you." He punished himself. So to see him turning to Krishna in times of difficulty was also essential, I think, at least for myself, and I'm sure also for others, to watch Krishna's ways of dealing with us when we make a mistake, we do something incorrectly. So I wanted to share this with you, and I feel very, very fortunate that such a wonderful group of devotees came this year to hear and to be here. To hear and be here. I remember Sachinandan Swami was speaking in the first opening, and he mentioned the knot. There's a knot in the heart. Right, we've heard this a lot of times. There's a knot. And then he went on to speak, and I don't remember his sentence, but he said something like, "When you have a knot in your heart, you cannot love Krishna." And I heard two knots, knot in the heart and knot. So I understood, oh, the knot in the heart, we use the word twice. We use it to present a negative. You cannot do this, because you have a knot. So we need to understand how Krishna will protect us, how to turn to him. How to turn to him in our sincerity and how to turn to him in our insincerity, and thereby to cut and destroy this negative knot that we have within us. Thank you again. Hare Krishna.
Om Agnatimananda Sayanjana Jana Salakaya Chakshus Militanjayam Tasmai Sri Gurvayama Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Bhagadamayam Cha Kapatubhyas Cha Pipasindubhayibha Cha Patik Vyo Vaishnavayibhyo Namo Namah.
It's so nice sitting here and speaking to everyone. And one of the especially nice parts of this service is that you can see Giriraj right from here, from the trees, right? Directly above Srila Prabhupada and all the deities. And of course it's very very soothing to the heart to be in the presence of Giriraj. And that is one of the attractions of being here at the Govardhan Retreat. But it's especially nice to be speaking and having the opportunity to glorify Krishna. Especially nice, because all of you who teach know that of all the learners in a teaching session, the teacher learns the most, because there is the help of Krishna. When one acts as a servant, and especially during the service of teaching devotees, glorifying Krishna and teaching the devotees, Krishna helps so much, and that the help of Krishna is so obvious. And also so reassuring. And it's reassuring in the sense that this is a service, and we want to go through our life doing one service after another service, but we don't want to be on our own. Or there's a part of us that does want to be on our own. We can do everything ourselves, but the reality is, as Kaliya, by his activities, he taught us, is that that we want to do things on our own, but actually we have to end up depending on Krishna. And as Madhavananda Prabhu pointed out, and also Adiparsha Prabhu pointed out, and everyone pointed out, is that this theme ran through all the different classes, that we want to give ourselves to Krishna, and we want to serve Krishna, and we want to depend on Krishna, and we don't want to think that we are independently powerful than Krishna. Certainly, one of the things that we learn is in the association of devotees, and as we even watch our own lives develop, our own spiritual lives develop as we grow older as devotees, is that we see that the devotees have gifts. And somewhere in one commentary, which I can't remember at the present, unfortunately, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that the devotees each have their own gifts, their own individual natures. They have their own gifts, they have their own excellences, they have their own individuality that no one else has. And because Krishna is also a person, and he has unlimited devotees, and he reciprocates with the individuality and gifts of each of the individual devotees, he has to have unlimited qualities, exalted qualities to reciprocate. So Kaliya was envious, Matsarya, and I recently heard Prabhupada say that all the kam, krodh, lobh, etc. can be used in Krishna's service, but Matsarya, envy, cannot be used in Krishna's service. So what did it take for Kaliya to give up his envy of Krishna and turn to Krishna? Turning to Krishna means surrendering to Krishna. That is the process of sadhana bhakti, the process of turning to Krishna, from going bahyamukh to samukh. Now back turn to Krishna, turning towards Krishna. The process that he underwent was the process of the envious. Every time one of his heads was kicked down, he found another head to attack Krishna with, to show that he was independently powerful, that he had his own gifts and he didn't need anyone, and he didn't want to engage them in Krishna's service. Rather, he wanted to be the center. And that is what envy means. It means, envy of Krishna means placing ourselves in the center, thinking that we are independent. Well, in fact, we are not independent. So by the mercy of the good association of his wives, he had the seed planted, as Bali Maharaj had the seed of devotion, even though he was a daitya, a demon, he had the seed of devotion planted by Prahlad Maharaj. But what did it take Bali Maharaj for it to blossom? It took Lord Vamandev's association. What did it take Kaliya? Kaliya's to give up his envy for his surrender and devotion to blossom. It wasn't the association of Krishna even, because he had Krishna's association and he attacked Krishna. But he had to try again and again with each of those heads, and Krishna jumped on each of the heads. Jumped on each of the heads and crushed them and smashed them with his tender lotus feet, which happened to assume the weight of the entire universe with every heel crashing into Kaliya. And Kaliya was so powerful that neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva could defeat him, or they would have difficulty defeating him. But Krishna just, one could say, he turned the purification process into a festival, a dancing festival. But look what Kaliya had to go through. So one of the things that I learned from this pastime is that I pray that that I don't have to keep going through this same process of getting aspects of my false ego keep smashed. Why can't I just learn the lesson one just learn it once and for all that, okay, Krishna, turning to him and saying, I am yours, please engage me in your service. Just turning to Krishna. And even it's so interesting that he was so weakened by the process that caused his turning to Krishna, the continuous pummeling of Krishna's heels upon his head, that he couldn't even offer his own prayers. He had nothing left to offer to Krishna, not even his own prayers. But how wonderful it was that he offered the prayers that he heard. So even if we don't know what to pray, we have the prayers of the great acharyas to hold on to tightly, and we can take on the mood of their prayers as Kaliya took on the mood of the prayers of the Nagapatnis, and he held on to those, and his prayers were also accepted by Krishna. And those prayers were in three parts. First, very, very, very instructive parts. First part, he deserved it. I deserve it. Your punishment is just. It is correct. Wherever difficulties come, tatenu kampam, they're deserved. But on the other hand, oh Lord, you are so powerful. And even though I have so many poor qualities, terrible qualities, Madhavananda humbly, Prabhu humbly said that despite his lack of qualification, he's here. And look at these lack of qualifications he has. What a transcendental brain. By the mercy of Guru. But even if we have no qualifications, oh Lord, you can do the impossible. We can't overcome your daivyesha guna mayi mama maya dratya. I can't overcome the conditionings of my nature that have been implanted in my heart by you, the all-powerful Supreme Lord, because you're the creator of everything and the cause of all causes. But yet, at the same time, you are all-powerful, and part of your all-powerfulness is all-mercifulness. So please, be merciful to me, and please be merciful to the devotees. And then finally, we have to, like the wives of the Nagapatnis that they ultimately said, you can punish whatever you want, you can do. You are the doctor. Even a good doctor doesn't prescribe for himself. So Krishna, you are the doctor, so we accept our fate, so to speak, as Krishna's mercy, and from whatever position we're in, we try to serve. And one last point, the Kaliya, the punishment in one sense, because his situation was incompatible with his being in Vrindavan, because he was a snake, a poisonous snake, so Krishna said, you have to leave. So some of us, I felt that, oh no, my time's going to come. I'm incompatible with Vrindavan. Actually, Nalakuvera and Nalakuvara Manigriva, even though they were right in front of Krishna, they were so purified, they had to leave because they were incompatible with Vrindavan, their mood. But there is another way to leave, and almost all of us will have to leave Vrindavan, but there is another way that we should leave. And please take this way as the way of Giriraj, the servant. And this is from one of Prabhupada's purports, from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya 13, 156, Rathiatra. 156. About, because Ratha Yatra is so much about separation from Krishna, Krishna returning to Vrindavan. So, Prabhupada says in his purport, very short, just as Krishna does not take a step away from Vrindavan, padam ekam nirvasati. Krishna's devotee also does not like to leave Vrindavan. So I don't think anyone really wants to leave Vrindavan, all the devotees. In fact, it is so difficult to leave Vrindavan. However, Prabhupada says, and here he becomes somewhat autobiographical, I think, when he has to tend to Krishna's business, he leaves Vrindavan. So Prabhupada had a service to do. So we should all think about the service that we will do for Krishna, that we have to leave Vrindavan to do this service. And after finishing his mission, Prabhupada says, a pure devotee returns home, and here he speaks on two different levels, back to Vrindavan, back to Godhead. So if we live our life thinking, oh, I don't like to leave Vrindavan, why do I have to leave Vrindavan? And then remember, I have a service to perform, and do that service in the mood of service to Guru, to Prabhupada, to Vaishnavas, to Vrindavan, to Mahaprabhu, to Nityananda Prabhu, to Giriraj Govardhan. Then at the end, when we've completed our mission, we will come back home, back to Vrindavan, back to the spiritual world. Madhya Lila 13:156, Prabhupada's purport, Rathiyatra chapters.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Ujjain Prabhu. We will now, I would now like to give you a few little workable tips, what you can do to take the retreat home and to benefit from the experience while you are in your home place. Afterwards, we will have a very meditative ending. There will be a beautiful slideshow on Giriraj and the prayers to Giriraj, and then a final kirtan. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachaline Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyare Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Go Bhaktavinda Namaste Girirajaya Shri Gaurvadana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Dayine Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The question which we will all face when we return back to what we are used to do is our sanskaras and how we can overcome sanskaras. This goes a little bit into spiritual psychology. Every impression which we have creates or every experience which we have creates an impression in our mind. This impression is called sanskara. Now, the sum total of our sanskaras describe the way in which our mind goes and in which our life flows.
I would like to give you the example of a riverbed. A riverbed is an geological impression in the landscape, and the water which is flowing or which is coming will flow not arbitrarily or accidentally. It will follow the impression of the riverbed. Is my example clear to you? In the same way as a riverbed is an impression in the landscape and will control the water flow of the river by directing it in a certain way, in much the same way, the impressions which you have are there in your psychology, in your subconscious mind or conscious mind, and you will always follow those impressions. If we want to change our life, we have to change our sanskaras, our impressions. You can see many times devotees who have not taken enough care to understand this really don't change. Instead of saying hello, they say Haribol. And instead of trying to become a famous person in the world, they try to become a famous person amongst the devotees, but really it's not different. It's the same old story in another dress, the dhoti dress or gopi dress. If we want to really change our lives, we have to work with the impressions. So here, a deep impression has been made. You have been in the Govardhan retreat, you have taken part in the lectures, you have responded to the voice of the Govardhan retreat, who told you, chant louder, everyone chant, raise your hands and jump up and down with appreciation. So we have all done many things which we usually would not do. I'm sometimes thinking, what if someone makes a movie about Jai Jai Sri Radhe, and then the next movie, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Then what, you know, you would see something. In the beginning you are hesitating, yes, okay. And at the end you chant with your heart and soul. There, something has been given to you, something precious, a transformation, and deep impressions have been made. Now, when you come back to your old life, you will go into the same, you will confront the same habits, eating habits, staying late up at night, emailing more than necessary, constantly on your WhatsApp and Facebook and Twitter and all these prajalpa things. It will all come. It is not gone. It will be there. And the chances are, if you don't think enough about sanskaras, that you, the new sanskaras, the new impressions, that you will go back into the old impressions, and you will stay the same really after the Govardhan retreat. At least, let us say, it will, the effect will wear off. Don't fear. Something eternal will stay with you. I'm speaking now about a little motivating. Something has been given which can never be taken away from you. But I'm speaking about daily life, daily interests, and so on. So here is a very interesting advice what to do. Instead of going the old ways, keep going the new ways. Instead of, you know, doing, following the old riverbed,
flow in the new sanskaras, with the new sanskaras. Very practically, if something has touched you here, maybe you have marveled at Madhavananda's expertise in explaining the prayers to Giriraj. Take the prayers with you and pray them again and go over your notes or your memories, what the deeper meaning of these prayers are. If you have felt by listening to Bhurijan Prabhu's presentation, wow, the Bhagavatam has really deep secrets for me, which I didn't appreciate that the Bhagavatam is so thorough and so deep. Then take out the Bhagavatam and make a daily reading habit to read the Bhagavatam. I do a minimum of 3 verses each day. My life is a little busy. Usually I have 1 hour of reading time in Prabhupada's books. In the night when everyone sleeps, I do this. Not in the late night, but you know, when the day is over. But I have a minimum quota. I say a day cannot pass without spending at least 15 to 20 minutes with the Bhagavatam. So by creating or going voluntarily in the with the new impressions, things which have touched you, you can actually create a new sanskara and with it a new habit. Now what to do when the old habit knocks at your door, ping, 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 and you feel almost helplessly drawn to your old habits. There's a very simple way. Please do something spiritual instead. You must know the mind cannot hold 2 images at the same time very deeply. For instance, I can't be sad and at the same time be happy. It's either I'm sad or I am happy. Of course, there are transcendental emotions where there is... there are interesting emotions, let us say like this. But for a simple analysis, the mind concentrates on one thing at the same time. So let us say you find yourself upset. Someone wrote in the internet that you went and spent the Kartik in China, in Beijing, but you were in Vrindavan and you feel upset. Why is all this some bad news spreading? Or you feel your friend has disappointed you, or some feeling of upset. Now, you can exchange this by going into the new sanskara, by remembering, oh, I want to return to Govardhan, I want to return to the spiritual excitement which I felt here, and I want to do such and such practice. And as you do this, maybe it takes 5 minutes or 6 minutes or 7 minutes, or in hard cases 10 minutes, you will see that the old mood is gone. And the new Krishna conscious understanding is with you. It's magical. Believe it or not, you are not the mind. You don't have to follow your moods. You can actually create something new, a new sanskara, which is easy when you have some positive experience in that field, and stay with this. You don't have to come back to your old habits. You don't have to become what you were when you left your place. You can actually practice genuine spiritual life by flowing with the new sanskaras. This is my tip.
Of course, you can do many things. You can take the recordings with you and listen to lectures where it went a little bit fast and you could not follow everything, so you can revisit the lectures, or maybe you were not able to attend other lectures which interested you because you had to wash your clothes or something. That is there. You can also put up pictures which will remind you of your experience. But I believe the best is to work inside. You know, he who works outside dreams, he who goes inside awakens. So, because we live from the inside out, and we have to change our inside if we want to change our life. So my little recommendation is, be grateful. Something precious has been given to you. Follow that track, follow that inspiration, follow that motivation, follow the new taste which has arrived in your life, and you will see quick when you follow it that this will become a new riverbed, which will means a new sankskara, which will manifest in a new life. Also, there is something which will help you. Make a plan to return to Giriraj Govardhan, maybe after 1 year has elapsed or has come. That feeling, oh, I will go back to Govardhan, will connect you to Govardhan. I have noted one thing, one magical thing. Since we have started to build the Govardhan Retreat Center, I know that Bhujan Prabhu will allow me to use one room for free, most probably. I already know, wow, I have a place in Govardhan. And just the thought connects me throughout the year with Govardhan, and I can be in that consciousness. So please, make a plan. Next year, I will be there again, or I will come the year after next year, because I'm poor, I cannot come every year. So then it will help you to pull you out of the ordinary life and so on. The scriptures say, if we can't stay in Vrindavan physically, we should do so mentally. And this mental residence in Vrindavan can be easily done if you revisit the gifts of Govardhan, which you have gotten, the realizations, and follow these realizations, these insights. I always joke about the Hare Krishna devotees. It's not such a good joke as Adi Purusha's joke, but I think they never follow what they speak about. This is a little motivating joke. Of course they follow, but please follow something. Please do something. Please create a new sanskara. Please come spiritually alive. And I want to end, before we go to the slide presentation. This morning I read something very, very nice. Those of you who have been to my rendition or my attempt to do the Damodar Katha, remember that it was very important to understand that Krishna is bound by love. And he is bound by the love of at least three people in this Leela. One is Mother Yashoda. According to the Brijbasis, the other is Radharani. Because when Yashoda went to get new robes, they were always 2 fingers too short. Finally, Purnamasi, who had watched this Leela, went to Radharani and said, Radharani, Krishna is not going to be bound. What to do? And Radharani gave Purnamasi a small little rope and said, he will be bound by my rope. Bring this to Yashoda. So Purnamasi brought that little rope to Mother Yashoda and she tightened it. And when she then brought the newly lengthened rope, Krishna saw, oh, that rope at the end, it is glowing in a special way and it has the fragrance of Srimati Radharani's hands. Now I'm bound. So he then allowed himself to be bound. Because one reason why he was not wanting to be bound by Yashoda is because he had a full schedule of stealing, of associating with the gopas, and in his schedule the topmost priority place was to be with Srimati Radhika. So that's how they speak in Vrindavan, typical Vrindavan talk. This is a second devotee. Yashoda, first devotee who bound Krishna. Srimati Radharani is in Radha Damoda, the second. But the third devotee is very relevant for us. Who remembers the third devotee? Narad Muni, yes, because he had said, Krishna, you must bless Nala Kubera, you will be standing face to face to Krishna, therefore you will be delivered by Krishna. So I would like to speak to read to you something about how a devotee binds Krishna and how we need to take shelter under devotees. I will allow the conversations first to end on the stage and then continue. Yes, please. This is at the end of the prayers of the personified Vedas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna, is this your sensitivity today? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, O devotees, this person with an unsteady, dull mind is offering praises at your door. You should let him have a little mercy, since he is expert and quickly does the soliciting. So, this is the mood of someone who wants to get something from the devotee. He says, this person with an unsteady, dull mind is offering praises at your door. You come to the door of the devotees. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this means wagging, this word chanchant valadi means wagging tail. Thus the meaning would be as follows. A devotee, O devotees, this poor creature standing at your doorway is wagging his tail and barking. Please let him have a little prasadam so that he may become exceptional among dogs and get the best masters as his owner. So, see, get the mercy of the Vaishnavas, my dear devotees. Stand before the closed dogs, before the closed doors, I wanted to say, of the devotees. Wag your tail, bark enthusiastically, then the devotees will throw you a little prasadam. And in this way you become exceptional among dogs, by getting the best of masters as your owner. This is a beautiful purport of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where he speaks on this subject which was so important in the Damodar Katha, that Krishna, we cannot obtain Krishna directly. We have to go through the devotees. Like Nala Kuvera had to go through Narada Muni. And as they did so, Krishna actually gave them his personal mercy by blessing them. So, in parting, I would like to wish you all the best. I wish that the gifts which Giriraj has given to you will blossom in your hearts, that they will come true, your hopes will become true. And please remember this little thing about spiritual psychology, sanskaras. Huh? You either go with the old sanskaras or you go with the new sanskaras. Replace the old ones with the new ones, and you have what is called transformation of the heart. You will not have the transformation of the heart by external activities. You must do internal work by creating a new flow in your life, a new riverbed, following the new sanskaras. And something which is very helpful in this process is to stand at the door of good devotees, wag your, you know, show your eagerness. Have you ever seen dogs wagging their tail? You know, they move from left to right. It's so... show your eagerness. Then they might give you a drop of your mercy, of their mercy. All the best for you. Hare Krishna.
Now, please put yourself, you're already in a prayerful deep mood. We're going to read the prayers, and please pray deeply for residents. Thank you very much. Manavananda.
O Govardhan, O king of incomparable great mountains, O hill that became an umbrella with the arm of your own Lord as the handle, and then destroyed the pride of the Devic king, madly attacking with raised weapons, please grant the residence near you that is so dear to me. O Govardhan, please grant to me the residence near you that will guarantee the sight of the youthful divine couple as they enjoy passionate, amorous pastimes in your caves. O Govardhan, O hill where Lord Krishna happily plays with Balaram and his friends in the incomparable jeweled courtyards, jeweled lion thrones, trees, waterfalls, mountain brooks, caves, peaks, and valleys, please grant the residence near you that is so dear to me. O Govardhan, O hill that provides the dark courtyard that witnesses the Dhanakeli pastime of the nectar treasure, youthful divine couple. O hill that brings great bliss to the best of they who relish transcendental nectar, please grant to me residence near you. O Govardhan, O hill that hiding as you playfully embrace the neck of your dear friend, Lord Hari's dear unprecedented Radha Kund, secretly gazes at the pastimes of the youthful divine couple, please grant to me residence near you. O Govardhan, O hill that by nourishing the cows with its water, grass, and the shade of its trees declares to the three worlds the appropriateness of its own name, please grant to me residence near you. O Govardhan, O hill that the enemy of Agha and Baka honored by transforming into a new house to give Braj protection from the sustained fury of the Sura king. Please, grant to me residence near you. O Govardhan, O king of mountains, O hill whose nectar name, the best of Lord Hari's servants, flows from the moon of Sri Radha's mouth. O hill that the Vedas declare to be the tilak marking of Braj, please grant to me residence near you. O Govardhan, O philanthropist that gives transcendental happiness to Braj's people, animals and birds, all anointed with the nectar of friendship for Sri Sri Radha Krishna, surrounded by their friends, out of your immeasurable mercy, please accept unhappy me and please grant me residence near you. Although I'm a cheater and a criminal, unlimited merciful Lord Sachinanda, who is very dear to you, has given me to you. O Govardhan, please do not consider whether I am acceptable or not, but simply grant me residence near you. One who carefully reads these 10 nectar verses describing Srila Govardhan, the king of mountains, will very soon reside near that blissful hill and quickly attain the precious jewel of the service to the handsome divine couple.